Hello, dear friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. I'm coming to you today for just a few moments to talk about biblical dispensationalism, and in our first regular study of this topic, which, by the way, these studies will not be in a direct line in terms of a comprehensive course. They'll just I'll record them as I have a burden to speak about a specific topic. And they won't necessarily all flow together in a straight line toward an end goal, but this will be an ongoing endeavor, just from time to time, to share teaching regarding biblical dispensationalism. And I thought I would begin by taking up the topic of salvation within dispensationalism. Are there different ways of salvation within dispensationalism? Does dispensationalism teach different ways of salvation? And the short answer to that is no, it does not. The dispensations, and we'll get into, Lord willing, at a later time, exactly what makes a dispensation. You can also see some of the other teaching I've already done regarding that. But a dispensation is it comes from the biblical term dispensation, as it's used in the New Testament. It comes from the Greek word from which we get our word economy, and it literally means the laws of the house. The laws of the house. It's the way to run the household. It's the way to manage under God the stewardship that He has given. If you will, it's a way to live one's life in such a way as to please God and be sanctified. Some have gone so far as to say that each dispensation offers a new or different way of salvation, of justification, of being declared just before God. And sometimes this is something that is a straw man that is floated by the opponents of dispensationalism. Sometimes it's something that is feared when someone first encounters dispensationalism and wonders if it's some kind of a cult or something. And sadly, sometimes this heresy has even been promoted from within professing dispensationalist camps. Now, some of that has been spurred on through the years by some very unfortunate statements that were made early on as dispensationalism was really first being expounded and systematized. And we won't go into the sources in this short video, but one of the quotes comes from C.I. Schofield in the original Schofield Reference Bible. There's another debated quote, the debated as to its meaning by Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer, and these have given energy to the idea by anyone who would like to promote the idea that dispensationalism teaches different ways of salvation. Now, I reject the concept that it does so completely. And I don't think that the quotes by Schofield or Chafer should be used in any way to justify the idea that it is viable that today in 2020 we should be teaching that there are multiple ways of salvation in dispensationalism. Those were unfortunate statements that were made, and hopefully in the last roughly a century of time, we've grown in our understanding and we've refined the theology in our movement to the extent that we get beyond those unfortunate statements and certainly do not use them or build on them today or use them to justify false teaching today. I would go so far as to say that anyone who teaches that there are multiple ways of salvation, who knowingly, actively teaches that over time, is actually outside the realm of historic Orthodox Christianity, and therefore also certainly outside the realm of biblical dispensationalism. Dispensationalists do not teach that with each succeeding dispensation there is a new and different way of salvation. They do not teach that anyone was ever in the past or in the future saved under or by keeping the law. Dispensationalism teaches, and in fact, I would argue, and this is beyond what we'll talk about in this video, I would argue it more consistently, more vibrantly teaches the truth than other theological systems do, that salvation has always been, since Adam's fall, salvation has always been by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, grounded in the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone. Now, you say, but Paul, back in Adam's day in the garden, when he heard the voice of God, he did not understand that Christ died for our sins. Well, certainly he did not, and Christ had not yet died for our sins. But in that very first promise of the gospel, Genesis 3:15, we find that the message of salvation was grounded in the death of the coming Messiah, the coming Savior, Christ Jesus, whose heel would be bruised, and in the course of being bruised, he would bruise the serpent's head. And this is the first promise of the gospel. It's based in the forthcoming finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when we say that anyone who has ever been saved in the entire history of the world since the fall of man, or ever will be saved in the entire history of the future as it unfolds, has been saved, is being saved, will be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, based on the work of Christ alone, we do understand that the content of the faith that was required of people at any given time has grown and thus changed. For instance, obviously Adam, as I mentioned, nor anyone else all the way through the Hebrew Bible could not have quoted with Paul 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." First of all, they couldn't have quoted it because Paul hadn't written it yet, but they couldn't have quoted it because it hadn't happened yet. Now that it has happened, and now that it's been written, this is the only message, this is the exact message that we must believe, this is the content of the gospel that we must believe to be saved by faith alone in our day, during the age of the church, since the time of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So in what we call the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, people were saved by grace alone, yes, by faith alone, yes, but the content that they believed was not yet complete in terms of the Christian gospel that we understand in the pages of the New Testament, because those events hadn't happened yet. And therefore, the content of the message that they had to believe to be saved was varied from what we must believe. Abraham, you remember, in Genesis 15, believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted to him for righteousness. And Paul uses this to expound his whole doctrine of justification in the book of Romans. And the message that Abraham believed was not the exact wording of 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, but rather it was the promise of God, which was again based on the coming Savior that God would send, actually through Abram himself, as he's here in Genesis 15. So the content of the message has changed. Today, since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that content is set in stone. The content that must be believed is the gospel message, that Christ died on the cross for our sins in our place so that we could have the forgiveness of sin, eternal life in heaven with him, if we believe that he died for our sins in our place and rose again. But salvation has never been by keeping the law. It has never been by works. And the means of obtaining salvation has never changed from dispensation to dispensation. It has always been by grace alone, through faith alone. As the prophet Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. And of course, that passage which became the battle cry of the Reformation is repeated three times in the New Testament. Romans 1 tells us the just, Galatians 3 shall live, Hebrews 10 by faith. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. And if there's someone listening to this talk who has never trusted in Christ for their salvation, I would share that message with you personally to receive Jesus Christ and to come to him for salvation today. And then we'll talk about biblical dispensationalism. If you're listening because of the reference to dispensationalism and desiring to learn more about it, I would encourage you with the truth. Dispensationalism teaches not multiple ways of salvation, but one way of salvation through the dispensations, by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, by Scripture alone, and for the glory of God alone. Anyone who claims to be a dispensationalist but denies those essential truths, in my opinion, is actually deceived. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. And please come back as we talk further about biblical dispensationalism.